You're listening to a podcast from Jubilee Church, Farnham. To find out more, visit www.jubilee.church.
I hope everyone is well today. It's been an interesting last 10 days or so for my family. I'm not so sure you know, but Ayo and Olivia, they've been away in South Africa with a team from Jubilee. Here's a photo of them in a glorious African sunshine, you know. I'm not jealous. Particularly when you think about the kind of weather we've had this week. I'm very happy for them. But with them being away, you know, I've spent quite a lot of time with my two younger daughters. We've filled up our time as much as we possibly can. We've done a lot of shopping. You know, rather than doing online grocery shopping, you know, physically going into the shops. We even bumped into Stone and Janet the other day, you know, in Farnborough. We've also been to the saloon, you know, to get the hair done. Not mine, obviously, yeah. And we've even attempted, you know, some flat pack DIY assembly. Now, I'm going to be very honest with you. DIY are not my forte, you know. And my usual excuse is that, you know, I didn't grow up in a flat pack culture, you know, or an environment whereby you DIY things by yourself from an instructional manual. Now, amazing things can be built these days from flat pack. I mean, don't get me wrong. I love the fact that anyone with an Allen key, you know, or a set of wonky-looking screwdrivers, you know, can build anything this day as long as it's an instruction, a manual to follow. And the personal problem I have with DIYs is I find myself spending too much time studying the manual. You know, I'm analyzing the thought process of the person who wrote the manual. You know, I imagine them sat at their fancy computers, you know, drawing those cute three-dimensional drawings and doing the actual physical measurements, you know, and then recording it for the manual. So for me, rather than concentrating on a clear instruction and just getting the job done, you know, I could stare at the manual for hours. Katie, you know, I got a photo. I'm not so sure you can see that clearly. But this was from last Christmas. I was putting together one of my daughter's bed. And in the middle picture, you can see I walked late into the night. It's dark outside, photographic evidence. And then the next morning, I continued. I spent hours. I know what some of you are thinking. You're thinking, if indeed he's an engineer, right? He should be better at these things. I know, I think about that myself. But you know what? The scriptures can be seen as the equivalent of a spiritual DIY. DIY manual, you know, in our spiritual walk with God. A manual to do life with God. That's a good meme, right? Yeah. And the truth is, sometimes we are very good at following instructions. Other times, we spend too much time, you know, questioning the instructions of the scriptures rather than just following the instructions. Over the last 6 weeks leading to 2 weeks ago, on the Practicing the Way module, we learned about reading the scriptures, meditating on the scriptures, studying the scriptures, and then a couple of weeks ago, memorizing the scriptures when Rick tested our musical and karaoke skill set. I'm not going to be doing that this morning. But this morning, I want to go over some of the things we learned and teach a little bit on the literacy and the spirit of the scripture. And literacy in this context being the ability to read, to understand, you know, something divine, something revelational. And this morning, particularly, I want to share a couple of call-outs God has placed on my heart over the course of this module, and in the hope that we can take heed and we can be vigilant in this season. A little bit of a personal story here. I gave my life to Christ a couple of weeks before I would turn 13. And for some reason, that year, I put a demand upon myself to finish reading the scriptures, like the Bible from Genesis through Revelation, before I would turn 14. Now, I was telling some of our youths on one of the Wednesdays on the Practicing the Way module on the scriptures a few weeks ago that I did it to get a sense of accomplishment, a sense of achievement, rather than fully understanding what I was reading. You know, because imagine being a Christian teenager and reading through the Songs of Solomon. You know, I was like Mario in this meme. You know, I had to like check the book I was reading to say, what's going on here? You know, I was intrigued. But you know what? I'm much older now. And I think I understand what the guy was trying to say. It's not what you think, you know. But I hope, you know, as a church collectively in this year, I hope we've developed the curiosity to exploring the Word of God going forward, particularly as we taper off towards the end of the year. And the reality is, you know, we need to grow in our literacy, in our understanding. You know, we need to grow in our delight of the Scriptures. Maybe you're new to the faith, or maybe you are an old timer in faith, and then you're asking yourself, thanks Rick, you know, why do I need to grow in my understanding of the Scriptures in 2025? Why does it matter? I think it matters because the Bible is God's revelation to us. The Bible reveals God to us. The Bible helps us understand Him. It gives us an amazing insight into how God wants to be worshipped. It opens our understanding as to how God wants to be loved. And in return, it gives us an understanding about who we are ourselves. You know, I can't but recall the very first memory verse I ever memorized in my life. I'm sure it's possibly the same for you. It's so popular. I think the whole world knows this, right? John 3:16. Can we read it together? 3, 2, 1, go. Amen. I like to believe every believer in Christ today, you know, at some point reflected on the Scriptures because we considered our sinfulness and thought to ourselves, you know, that if God truly loved the world, then God loves us. And if God loves us, it means that He died so we wouldn't perish. And knowing the Scriptures, yeah, helps give us the confidence to repent of our sins because we were all born sinners. No one's righteous. It gave us the faith we needed to walk in daily surrender as part of our Christian race. It helps us understand our calling. And the truth is, if we want to live a life that is faithful, a life that is holy before God, a life that is godly, not just now but forever, we need to know the Scriptures. Yeah, let's pray very quickly before we get into it. Father, I thank you for this morning. I thank you for everyone in Jubilee. I thank you for your Spirit. I pray that your Holy Spirit will settle here this morning. I pray that your Spirit will illuminate the world, that your Spirit would grant us understanding, Jesus. I pray for excitement around your word. I pray for delight around your word. I pray for enjoyment around your word, Lord. I pray that you would begin to confirm even spiritual giftings as we learn from your word this morning. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, let's get into it. Okay, so I mentioned earlier that the Bible is a divine revelation. By divine revelation, I mean that God revealing himself through the book. Now, we've gone through the data and the metrics from the Practice in the Way module, and I'm sure you all know that the Scripture has about 40 authors by now, all of whom contributed or wrote the Scriptures. You have Moses in the Bible, one of the most famous characters from the Old Testament, from encountering God at the age of 80 at a burning bush on Mount Horeb in the desert of Midian, to finding his calling, finding his voice at an old age, leading the children of Israel from slavery on the Exodus from Egypt. And to think that he wrote all of those books after the age of 80 is fascinating. You know, so maybe all of our best years are still ahead of us, you know, in terms of contributing to the kingdom. He was such a good writer. And then I also think about David, probably my personal all-time Old Testament favorite. He was everything. He was a hard worker, a grafter, a shepherd boy, a giant killer, like we sing in the song. He was lyrical. He was musical. He hustled so hard, you know, lived through proper, assassination attempts from the king. He lived in dark caves, surviving assassination attempts, all because he killed a giant and he got popular. The equivalent of someone going viral today, but for the right reasons and people hating you for it. The ladies liked him. You know, all of a sudden, scripture says that the women were singing songs about David, you know, saying he killed 10,000s, whilst the king only killed 1,000. You know, and the king hated him for it. But God used all of these experiences and much more to inspire David in writing some of the Psalms. We all know Paul, right, from the New Testament. We like to think about Paul as someone that we sort of know better than he knows himself. You know that feeling when you've always known someone. You knew them when they didn't have it all together. And then you also know them when they have it together. You know, Paul was like that. We all remember him from the Acts of Apostle when he was Saul, the Stephen killer, you know. All he cared about was sending Christians to prison. But then the good Lord saved him on the road to Damascus. And he ended up having to write about 13 to 14 books of the New Testament being accredited to him. Another example I think we don't talk too often about is Luke the Evangelist. He walked alongside Paul on his apostolic journey. He wrote the Acts of Apostles. And, you know, many more examples. Don't get me started on the prophets of old. You know, you have Ezra, Nehemiah. You have Daniel, Amos, Obadiah, Zephaniah, Habakkuk, Malachi, all of these amazing prophets. Now, why am I giving you these examples this morning? It is to highlight that the books in the scriptures and the Bible were written by humans, people like you and me, you know, but at a different age, at a different time. Yet the Bible says this about itself, and as part of our living scriptures that we read in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, it says that all scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we are wrong and teaches us to do what is right. See, these verses here confirms that the Bible was written by humans. Yet at the same time, the Bible affirming that it was written by God. You take a look at the first line again. All scripture is inspired by God, which means that every book Paul wrote, which means that even the Songs of Solomon, the book of Amos, the book of Habakkuk, were all inspired by God, like a spiritual DIY manual. You know, so it means that even books you've never read in the scriptures, or books you don't want to read for whatever reason, might be a message from God you're missing in it. And what Paul is saying here is that, you know, when he uses the word inspired, he means that, you know, the scripture is God's breath. I like the English Standard Version of it. You know, he says, all scripture is breathed out by God. And what does that really mean? I'll very quickly take you to the beginning in Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. It says, and the Lord God formed a man out of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being. See, the Bible tells us that God takes some dirt, you know, and he makes man out of it. At this point in creation, Adam is just, you know, it's just a lump of beautifully carved out Play-Doh. You know, Adam can't even talk. He can't walk. He can't see. He can't hear. Think about it. In that state, he can't even think. He can't do anything until God breathed into him. Now, God breathing into his nostrils, and scripture's telling us here that he became a living being, a living soul, which means that the life Adam has did not come from himself. Yeah, the life he had didn't come from a creature God had created. It didn't come from a wind or the breeze or from sunshine. It came directly from God. And in a similar way, Paul is saying that if you look from Genesis through Revelation, though it might be written by humans, it came from God. All scriptures is breathed out by God. I like the way Peter further clarifies this in the book of 2 Peter, chapter 1, verses 20 to 21. It says, above all, you must understand that no prophecy of Scripture came about by the prophet's own interpretation of things. For prophecy never had its origin in the human will, but prophets, though human, spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. I'm really trusting God for the gift of prophecy amongst us this morning in Jubilee, that as we carry on our walk with God in this year of formation, in this month of formation, that we will be carried along by the Holy Spirit in Jesus' name. So what I'm trying to clarify here, in case anyone still doubts, you know, that the life that exists in the Scriptures did not come from any of the writers, you know, that the writers were writing and communicating, but God was breathing, you know, and I think this should fill us with the assurance of fight off any doubt of the enemy, you know, that the enemy might want to whisper into our ears and our hearts sometimes. Should give us the assurance in God that the Scriptures we base our walk with God on is of a divine origin, a divine spiritual DIY manual. See, think about this for a minute with me. If in the Bible it says that men and women were made in the images of God, in the image of God, then it tells me that God's original intention was to use us as his image bearer to reveal himself. And it also tells us that human beings are like little mirrors. We're like little reflections of God. So the way the Bible was written actually confirms that God never gave up on using people, even after the fall of man. You know, the fact that God could use someone as imperfect as David, or someone like Paul, who used to be a killer, or someone like Moses, who had a lot of childhood trauma, struggled with his identity, so much that God had to call his name twice out of a burning bush. You know, someone like Peter, who was so boisterous, you know, for all of the wrong reasons, until the Holy Spirit came and used some of that energy for the propagation of the gospel of Christ. You know, it tells me that God loves using people, broken, imperfect people. And if the Bible is God's breath, you know, if the Bible is God's revelation of himself to us, God telling us secrets about himself, God revealing mysteries to us about himself, God telling on himself to us. I mean, you may be thinking, why am I overemphasizing the last practice in the way module on the Scriptures? You know, after all, we've spent about 4 to 5 weeks on it already, right? You know, we've spent time learning about it, reading it, meditating, memorizing it. I'll tell you why. It's because it's one of the easiest ways that God reveals himself to us outside of our weekly Sunday gathering. You know, we heard from Rick last Sunday that God is leading us into the season of fruitfulness, you know, following the last 18 months of formation. And I like one particular thing Rick said. He said that sometimes we thrive on the dramatic versus the everyday mundane part of our relationship with God. You know, God wants to continue his amazing work in us, even in the mundane everyday part of our lives, you know, outside of church on Sunday, outside of practicing the way sessions on Wednesdays, outside of our growth groups. And I want us to lean into the Word of God this year, into our Bible apps, our devotional apps, you know, as we wrap up 2025, as we head into the Christmas season and into the new year. So I did say I was going to touch on a couple of call-outs. Two things I want to land on very quickly that God has placed on my heart, that he wants us to be wary of in this season of dwelling on the Word of God. Number one, the flesh. Yeah, so in case you don't know what the flesh is, I think Galatians chapter 5 verse 17 clearly states that, for the desires of the flesh are against the spirit, and the desires of the spirit are against the flesh. And these are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things you want to do. Now, the flesh is that unredeemed part of us that wants to keep sinning. It is that part of us that sometimes doesn't like hearing the truth. You know, that part of us that really, really occasionally struggles with submitting to the will of God. That pushes hard against God's authority. Causes us to resist anything that has to do with God. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 says, "For the word of God is alive and powerful. It is sharper than the sharpest two-edged sword, cutting between the soul and spirit, between joints and marrow. It exposes our innermost thoughts and desires." See, it's telling you that if you read the word of God correctly, sometimes the word of God will cut you. Sometimes the word of God will challenge you. And I know it's not a good feeling. You know, what? Perhaps if the word isn't challenging you, perhaps you're not understanding it right or reading it right. See, earlier this week, I got a message from someone from Jubilee. And they shared a revelation God had given them, which further affirmed what I'd been working on, you know, as part of my preach. And in that revelation, God is saying that he wants the heart of everyone in Jubilee to be like fertile soil, full of roots, that the word of God may grow forth and bear forth fruit. See, we can't be like a tree that is planted by the riverside if our hearts are hard like rock. You know, we as humans, we're very, very good at hiding ourselves. We're very good at concealing what we think of. But the word of God wants to cut through our hearts sometimes. I've got to simplify this a little bit and share a personal experience with you. It's a word of correction I got from God for myself. And I thought, let me share this example from James chapter 3, verse 16, that says, For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you will find disorder and every evil practice. Now, this is a God-inspired word from the scripture. Now, I meditated hard and long enough on this, and I thought, so the scriptures is telling me that if I do anything out of selfishness, if I build friendship out of selfishness, if I make moves out of selfishness, see, if I try landing that job out of selfish ambition, or I chase a promotion at work out of selfish ambition, that the only thing I would get out of it is disorder? Ouch, that really hurts. And naturally, we don't like feeling guilty, right? And subconsciously, we distance ourselves from the word of God that looks like this. And in so doing, we keep our thoughts, our motives, our ambitions away from our God-like conscience, the flesh and the spirit opposing each other. I like this quote from J.C. Ryles. It was a tough-sounding British evangelical preacher from Liverpool. I said, be very sure of this. People never reject the Bible because they cannot understand it. They understand it too well. They understand that it condemns their own behavior. They understand that it witnesses against their own sins and summons them to judgment. They try to believe it is false and useless because they don't like to believe it is true. Sometimes we don't want to hear anything bad or negative about ourselves. You know, particularly in this new age where we're so exposed to everyone's opinion through social media. And everyone is exposed to ours as well. You know, we can become so sensitive to things, particularly for our young people. But sometimes in our spiritual walk with God, we hinder ourselves from growing in maturity as the word of God corrects us. You know, that feeling when you get corrected by God, you hear a hard word of correction, what we call conviction. And that's God being so kind to you, showing you a version of yourself that he has always seen. You get cut in the heart and you're thinking, maybe I'm not as godly as I think I am. Maybe I'm not as loving as I think I am. And then you really start to see yourself. And in that moment, God isn't surprised. He's just being so kind to you. He wants you to see you the way he sees you so that you can come to him. And let me be very clear this morning. See, God is not convicting our hearts to shame us. He never convicts us with his word to leave us where we are. He's doing it so that we can see ourselves and be aware of the flesh so that we can approach the throne of grace and mercy. So that we can know more of him through our formation journey to be able to bear fruit. This scripture has been coming on for the last couple of weeks. Jeremiah 17:8 says, they will be like a tree planted by the water that sends out its roots by the stream. It does not fear when the heat comes. Its leaves are always green. It has no worry in the year of drought and never fails to bear fruit. Another key thing we've got to be mindful of in this season of dwelling and living our lives in the scripture is frustration. See, I'm going to be honest with you and saying that studying the Bible takes work. That's a fact. You know, I have a lot of deep respect for theological students and people who devote their academic pursuits to the understanding of the scriptures. You know, getting serious and understanding biblical languages, you know, like Hebrews and Greek, and checking cross-references and commentaries, it's amazing work. And in a way, I believe anyone can do it, maybe not as deeply as a theological student would do it, you know, but I believe everyone here is capable of getting deep enough with prayers and meditation. And the same goes for the theological students as well. You know, but I'm not naive, and I'm admitting this morning that it can be frustrating. You know, you need to do a little bit of work sometimes to understand what the Bible is or what God is trying to say in that moment. And just because you read the scriptures for 10 minutes doesn't mean you're going to have a burning bush appearing in your room. You know, we got to be realistic. And I understand that for us, for some of us, it could be a bit frustrating. You know, you read about the God of the Old Testament that did the signs and massive wonders in the Old Testament, and you wish you could have an iota of that. Now, for some of us, the personal revelation and insight might not come easy at first. Now, some of us might even open the scriptures this week, and the very first sentence you read wouldn't make sense. You know, I remember the first time I read the book of Daniel myself. Now, I'd grown up with Sunday school. You know, how many of you remember Sunday school? Yeah. You know, I'd heard all about the cool stories about Daniel, you know, Daniel in the lion's den and all of that sort of amazing story. So I naturally enjoyed reading the first 6 chapters of the book of Daniel. It was like finally reading the original novel series of a popular TV show that the book was based on. You know what I mean? I'm not going to give any examples this morning. Until I got to chapter 7, chapter 8, all the way through 12. And I was so confused by the revelation this dude was talking about. The same goes for the book of Revelation. When John was seeing things the human mind just can't comprehend, you know, it was describing creatures only ChatGPT can create. For real. And I'm like, what's going on here? So for all of us, I'm admitting that sometimes some things just don't make sense at first. But we can't get frustrated. You know, we can't give up. Because there's something about God that we will miss if we get frustrated. So if we have to sit there, if we have to pray, if we have to wait on the Holy Spirit for deeper revelation, if we have to beg and ask for wisdom, if we have to meditate, if I have to call my brother in faith and say, what do you think about these scriptures? If we have to text each other to say, what do you think about this verse? If we have to do community together to learn about God, we will do the work. We're not going to get frustrated. You know why? Because God is worthy of our time. So I don't want you seeing the Bible as a means of gathering human knowledge. I want us to see it as an access point to God, knowing more about God. And that would help us, you know, to fight off and navigate whatever feelings of frustration that may come. And we can abide in him like a tree planted by the river. I like to think that when Jesus walked this earth, you know, there were people like me and you who totally missed the opportunity to learn from him. Think about that for a moment. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 13, verse 13, he said, though seeing, they do not see. Though hearing, they do not hear or understand. Scripture telling us here that some people just couldn't understand his parables. They just left it there. They were unwilling to go to him to understand what he was saying. Maybe they were frustrated by him. You know the way sometimes toddlers and teenagers, or toddlers just, they, you know, they just ramble and ramble, and you just wanted to talk straight. Come on, let's get to the point. I'm sure some people felt like that way with Jesus, like, oh, can you just talk plainly? But it was the disciples that finally got the revelation, because they were willing to do the work. So please, don't get frustrated in this season, yeah? Don't get weary. We've got to be aware of the antics of the enemy. Bible says his intention is like a thief, you know, that only comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy our faith in this season as we come towards the end of our year of faith. He wants to tell you you can't understand the scriptures. And that's a very simple lie. Or he's trying to tell you that you don't need to read the scriptures, because after all, no one's asking you to preach and teach, right? Or he tells you you're not old enough. You don't need it. Or he's telling you you don't need to read it because you have a reading or learning disability. We must not believe the lie of the enemy in whatever season we are in. God's word is not off limit for us. Amen. Here at Jubilee, we are a Bible-believing church. And we're never going to stop encouraging one another. We're going to be doing community together. I do encourage you to participate. And even if you want to start small, you know, take some baby steps. Read a verse a day. Meditate on it. Memorize it. Some of you have only got 10 minutes out of 24 hours to spare. That's fine. But can I ask that you use this 10 minutes wisely? You know, pray to God and ask the Holy Spirit to open up your understanding. But I'm sure we all can spend more than 10 minutes, right? See, let me give you a little bit of an homework this morning. When you get back home, have a look through the book of Acts of Apostles, chapter 17. Yeah. Luke wrote about the Berean folks who, following a service like this, they would go home and study the scriptures even further for themselves. And they did that daily, Bible says, to check if what Paul was saying was true. But you know what happened in verse 12, that the scripture tells us that as a result of that, because they did the additional studying, you know, the more they studied, the more they rehearsed, the more they talked to each other. Bible says many of them believed, and a number of prominent Greek men and Greek women, meaning the scriptures expanded, Christianity grew, because they spent time in the Word of God. And I want to encourage you to do that. You know, in Farnham, imagine, you know, we're discussing the scriptures with our neighbors, with our friends, and then people participating. That's how God, you know, that's how God grew Christianity back in the day. We've got to see the Bible as a daily instructional manual. You know, challenge yourself. And let's be like the Berean people who studied the word of God more by themselves. Yeah, can we have a band come up, please? Thank you. I'll take you very quickly back to 2 Timothy, where we started from. You know, Paul affirming that the scripture is inspired by God. And the scripture tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14, it says that a natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit because they are foolishness to them. It means that our human brains can't really understand spiritual realities without spiritual help. What I'm trying to say to you this morning is that we need the Spirit of God to understand what the Spirit of God wrote. It doesn't matter how educated you are. It doesn't matter if you grew up in a church, you grew up learning Bible stories or not. It doesn't even matter how long you've been walking in faith for. You need the infilling of the Spirit of God to thrive on this journey. We need the Spirit of God not just to die to our flesh, but to enable us to see what God wants us to see. Now, we can't keep trusting the flesh to understand what the flesh can't understand. Otherwise, we're going to miss what God is trying to teach us in our walk with God. And this morning, as we worship together and pray, I'm trusting God for a personal Pentecost for each and every one of us. We're going to go into communion now. And I want us to approach the bread and wine in repentance and in surrender. I want us to prep our bodies and our hearts to receive the infilling of God this morning, because God is here. I want us to worship together. I want us to think about how God might be convicting you in your heart, how the word of God might be cutting through this morning. And I want us to be present. I want us to worship in faith.